The Kinship of Catholics and Jews is a program sponsored by the Institute of Judeo-Christian Studies, Seton Hall University. I'm Father Lawrence Frizzell. I'm the director of the Institute and moderator of this program. With me today is my co-worker, Mr. Jay Wolverman, who will interview me about a book that I've just read, the second volume of The History of Galilee. So I'll have a little conversation with my colleague to reflect on aspects of this book.
Thank you, Father Frizzell. The author of this book is Dr. M.M. Silver. Can you tell us a bit about Dr. Silver and his work?
Well, I had not heard of him before, and then I learned about the first volume of his History of Galilee only after I had begun to read the second volume. So History of Galilee from 1538 to 1949. This is the period that is covered in this second volume. The first volume goes from the 47 BCE before the Common Era to 1260 CE, from Josephus and Jesus to the Crusaders is the subtitle. So Dr. Silver is a professor of Jewish history and world history at the Max Stern Yisrael Valley College. And he also teaches at the University of Haifa. His work is presented, he says, consciously based on principles of liberal humanism and interfaith dialogue. And so he draws attention to the fact that Galilee is the center of a great number of historical episodes, we could say, and historical dimensions. And he wants to tell his readers that he is not merely looking at it from the perspective within Judaism, but from an interfaith perspective as well. And he draws attention to Galilee's history attaining singular importance in world history as the place where monotheism multiplied. And so obviously, he's drawing attention then to the ancient Jewish tradition and the way in which Christianity and Islam were developing out of that ancient heritage of faith within the Jewish community. And of course, the expression of faith is central to this particular study, but we'll find that the faith has nuances of shared ideas within Judaism and then among Christians and Muslims as well. So the idea of the book is a good one, that there's much to be developed in terms of appreciating the geographical context within which this life of many peoples is developed.
Father Frizzell, you mentioned a bit about the focus of the book. The focusing on the land of Galilee over the centuries must be challenging. How does Dr. Silver approach this research?
So he wants, obviously, to give a wide range of contexts in which the dynamics of the history were developed. And he draws attention first to the experience that the Jewish people in Spain before the expulsion in 1492 were drawing attention to the way in which Galilee was so formative in the life of the Jews after the destruction of the temple by the Romans, and especially after the Second Jewish revolt from 132 to 135, the Bar Kokhba revolt. And so the Jewish people in Spain included a number of people with a very deep mystical sense. And they related back to the Second Temple period and the way in which the Jewish people is in Israel of those days was drawing attention to the spiritual order, the profound spiritual developments that were presented in the sacred scriptures, and especially, for example, with the studies and reflections and prayers focused on the book of creation, on the book of Genesis, and upon the book of the chariot, the first three chapters of the prophet Ezekiel. And so people related their work, the Spanish scholars and mystics were reflecting upon the way in which the rabbi named Shimon Bar Yochai after the second revolt, and he is one of the heroes of that particular period, and it's to him that the Zohar, the Book of Splendor, which was, we think, created in the world of Spanish Jewry, but attributed to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zachar, ben Yochai. And so we have this way in which the Spanish-speaking Jewish community was introduced to an idealized picture of Spain, idealized picture of Galilee for the Jews of Spain. And they had a particular focus on the place that Shimon Bar Yochai had in that period of time, and how Dr. Silver draws attention to his heroism and his profound teachings, and then to his martyrdom. And when we see this scenario, as it were, Dr. Silver draws attention to a way that this seems to be an antidote to the way in which Jesus, as a healer, teacher, and then martyr, Jesus of Nazareth, of course, was the person who was drawn into the mystery of God's goodness in a special way for us Christians, and the Jewish community may have found another approach through the work of Shimon ben Bar Yochai. So here we are, we're looking at the ancient Galilee seen through the imagination of Jews in Spain. And then after 1492, these Jews were expelled, and some of them came to the Holy Land directly. Others, of course, came to different parts of the Muslim world, as well as to Italy, where they could begin again to express their faith experience. Now, here we are then looking at this idealized approach to Galilee, and then that inspired Jewish people from the Sephardic world, the world of the Spanish-speaking communities. These people were drawn to Galilee and other places, and of course in the Holy Land. So here we are drawing attention to the work of Isaac Luria, so the great mystic who came to Safat in Galilee, drew attention to the profound teachings that that were developed from Spain into the other parts of the world, where the Jewish communities, the Sephardic, the Spanish-speaking Jews, had fled And now we have the way in which the community is presenting the real experience of Galilee in terms of the contemporary period of the 16th century, 17th century. So here we are then looking at the way in which these communities came to the area where Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai had lived and where he had died. And his tomb is in an area not too far from Safat. And so some of us may remember that a few years ago, about the year 2001 or so, there was a pilgrimage on Lag BaOmer on the 33rd day of the Omer, as people counted the time between Passover and the Feast of Weeks. The people were looking at the calendar and, of course, thinking back to that time when the Jewish community was able to bury its dead during the Second Jewish Revolt. So the 33rd day of the Omer was very special and associated with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. But the crowds were so enormous that unfortunately there was a very tragic event where 45 people died in about the year 2001 or so. So here we have these resonances from the ancient Galilee into the 16th century, where Jewish communities, mostly very pious people, came to build on the way in which Isaac Luria would be teaching and then guiding the work of these communities. So there was a time in the ancient Jewish world when it was emphasized that teaching the mystical traditions of Judaism had to be to those people who were profoundly committed to the halakha, to the Jewish heritage of keeping the commandments, and people were to be taught only after the age of 40 and taught one-to-one, not big classes with Jewish mysticism as the subject. And so so it's quite interesting that along with Isaac Luria, the other great teacher of the time was Joseph Caro. And Rabbi Joseph Caro, of course, gave us the Shulchan Aruch, the set table of all the commandments, how they're to be observed in Jewish life in the Sephardic tradition. And then they were, this text was taken into Poland and became the basis for Ashkenazi Jewry to also keep the practices of the ancient heritage in the way in which life is regulated by the commandments and their interpretation, their application. So the work of Joseph Caro then complemented the mystical developments that were being presented by Isaac Luria.
The political scene in Galilee at any time is complex, it seems. Tell us about the situation in the 17th century.
Well, this was a time where the Jewish community was a minority, yes, but had a strong presence in certain areas of Galilee. And the ruler of the area was not a Muslim, but a Druze. And so there's a group of people within Israel and neighboring countries who had broken off from Islam, and they had maintained their identity down through the centuries. And now in the 1620s, the area of Galilee was ruled by Emir Fakhr el-Din. And so he was subsidiary of the Ottoman Empire. He had to pay tax, as it were, a tribute to the Ottoman Empire, but he was quite successful in governing Galilee. And then, there was a pressure on him as the army and navy of the Ottoman Empire was coming, converging on Galilee. And so he fled to Florence in Italy. And during this time, he came into contact with, obviously, the political leaders in the city-states of Italy. And his idea was that with Christian support, he could recapture the area that he had been ruling in Galilee. And so he was going to recover what he had lost. And of course, he comes back to the land of Galilee, but is taken captive by the Ottoman Empire, the Ottoman army. And unfortunately, he was executed in 1635. So during that particular period, the Jews from Eastern Europe, as well as some from within the Ottoman Empire, became immigrants to Safad and Tiberias, as special sites for Jewish life in Galilee. And so these communities then not only were nurtured by the background of the Spanish-speaking Jews, but now coming from Eastern Europe, there were pious Jews who, some of whom were disciples of the Baal Shem Tov, the master of the great of the name, the founder of the Hasidic movement, then was his work was being shared with that of the Sephardic Jews. And so the way in which communities were developing then we drew our attention to the vitality of the Jewish tradition and its focus on Jerusalem, obviously, and also on the land of Galilee.
In the late 18th and 19th century, European scholars discussed Jesus of Nazareth in a new way. How did this impact Galilee?
Well, this was interesting that people on a scholarly level were studying the sacred scriptures without all of the piety of Christians of earlier centuries. And some of the scholars were debunking the Christian message. And so they had an interest in Galilee, of course, as the place where Jesus had begun his ministry, his teaching. And we find that the way in which the writers of the 19th century searched for the real Jesus, what we call the historical Jesus in some circles. And of course, this study, then a review by Dr. Silver, also includes two Jewish scholars, Abraham Geiger, the founder of the Reformed Jewish communities in Germany, and of course, with considerable influence in countries to which German Jewish immigrants came, especially in North America. But the other Jewish scholar was the historian Heinrich Graetz. And both Geiger and Graetz refer to Jesus. But Graetz was looking at the gospel, the teachings of Jesus, as we have them preserved, and thought that compared with the great teachers in Jerusalem, the teachers in Galilee were really backward, were really country folks, as it were, and they didn't have the sophistication of the schools in Jerusalem. So here we have the Jewish community interested in Galilee, obviously, and to some extent in the life of Jesus. And so in 1922, Joseph Klausner wrote what we would call a an attempt to have a biography of Jesus, and that is studied by Dr. Silver, along with the more recent scholarly work, especially a work by Richard Horsley from Boston University, who says a book called Bandits, Prophets, and Messiahs in 1985. And he draws attention to the way in which Christianity is developing its understanding of the work of Jesus within that political and social context, where there was a lot of unrest. And of course, Galilee, 40 years later, became the first area that was taken over by the Romans as the revolt in the year 66 was drawing Galilee into an impasse, as it were, a time of tragic disruption. So Horsley draws attention to the zealots, but says he doesn't think that the specific period of the life of Jesus in Galilee was affected very much by the zealots at that. Later on, of course, as the year 60 approached, then the intensity of the Jewish rejection of the Roman presence became very clear. And it's in that context that, especially in the besieged city of Jerusalem, that we would have these zealots in their role of being troublemakers, we could say, being guerrilla warriors in the city of Jerusalem. But Horsley doesn't think that the zealots were that much of a challenge at the very time of Jesus, 30 years earlier. So here we have the 19th century and into the 20th, into our present day, reflections on the volatile situation before the year 66 and the disaster that came when the Romans destroyed the temple and the city of Jerusalem. But Dr. Silver also draws attention to the way in which pious Protestant scholars and teachers, especially in the United States, were writing what we call lives of Jesus. And he draws attention to a number of these, where the interest in the physical scenario of what Galilee represented, not the towns, not the shrines, which are often run by Orthodox or Catholic and other Christian communities, but rather the actual landscape, the scene of Galilee, is inspiring to these Protestant scholars and writers, and they influenced what we would call the movement of pilgrims toward the Holy Land from within Protestant communities. Dr. Silver doesn't have any mention in the 19th, 20th century of developments within the Catholic communities or the Orthodox, Greek and other Orthodox communities. That would be an area that could be explored, obviously, in the way in which we are looking at the countryside of Galilee and its particular inspirational thrust, as it were, because these scholars and pious writers were saying, well, the physical experience of being in Galilee is really inspiring and draws our attention to the way in which we can draw more fully into the teachings of Jesus. And apparently the Protestant writers and the pilgrims that Dr. Silver has studied were not impressed with the traditional shrines that we have in Galilee, but rather they were seeking the fifth gospel in the scenario of Galilee. So just as since the time of St. Jerome, in Catholic tradition, we speak of Isaiah the prophet being the fifth gospel, in a similar way, way in which people are inspired as they visit Galilee and see the fruitfulness of the area and so on. All of this is evocative of that growth into an understanding for Christians of who Jesus is and what his message entails.
Father Frizzell, as we come close to the end of our discussion today, the persecution of the Jews in Eastern Europe led to a major migration to North America. Migration to Galilee increased as well. How does Dr. Silver discuss this?
Well, this, whereas earlier generations were mostly very pious people, we found that in the late 19th century into the first decades of the 20th century, the large numbers of Jews were inspired by Zionism, obviously, and even anticipated the growth of the Jewish communities in various parts of what is now modern Israel. And those communities were wanting to make the land fruitful. They were drawing upon the heritage of their ancient past to draw attention to the ways in which Galilee could become a center of focus. And it was a development that was important, of course, within the context of the declaration in 1947 of the State of Israel, and then the division, which was suggested by the United Nations, not being accepted, but in April and May 1948, the war between the Jews and Palestinians and other Arab countries entered into its very difficult phase. So he speaks of that, of course, and hopes that the future would be developed in such a way that the better shared side of the heritage of the Arabs and of the Jews would inspire people to make choices that will be more fruitful for everyone. And so with that hope for the future, I wish to end my reflection on the book of Dr. Silver, The History of Galilee. And we invite our listeners to be with us again next Sunday for the Kinship of Catholics and Jews.